Listeners, Joe Judge. Who in the hell is Joe Judge, might you ask? Hell if I know, but he is the next New York Giants football head coach. Let's get the damn show started.
Listen, when Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike grab mics, it's real sports, real talk, on the field or on the court. If it happened in New York, it's covered like a blanket, dog. Interviews are ill, simply up close and personal. Batter up, Lloyd's batting first, set the tone. Mike's either at the stadium or the garden on the phone. Here we go, Giants or Jets, Yankees or Mets, Knicks or Nets. This is only an intro, the show is next.
A-O-B! And please pardon my fresh as we bring you all new episode of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, today is Monday, January 13th, 2020. And this show airs every Monday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, TuneIn, Google Play, Pocket Cast. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss a damn thing. And you can also follow me and Mad Mike on social media, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Instagram, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Twitter, LLOYD, to help you out with the spelling. And if you got any questions you'd like for me and Mad Mike to answer on this show, you can always shoot them through email to lloyd@partmyfresh.com, or you can also hit us up on Twitter or Instagram and shoot your questions there, as we will answer them there, or we'll air them on this very show. Listen, it's always a great show for you today. We want to continue to talk NFL playoff football as the Tennessee Titans took down the mighty Baltimore Ravens. We're going to touch up on that. Kyrie Irving came back to play some basketball. It's going to be interesting to see how that turned out. We're going to fill you in on that. We're going to talk about some other things as well. And the New York Giants have a head coach that nobody knows anything about. Well, let me not say nobody. I definitely don't know anything about him. So we're going to touch up on that one as well and fill you in on our thoughts on if the Giants made the right decision, if he's the right man, and what's going to happen moving forward. So it's always listening. Let's buckle up, sit back and relax, and start spreading the news. Hey, yo, let's get it.
How sweet it is. It's Monday. That means the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show is back. Let's go.
As always, we got to find out where the Mad Mike is and where he's calling from. Yo, Mad Mike, where you at today, baby?
Lloyd, man, I'm back down in New York. If I sound like I got a cold, it's because I do, because it's freezing cold in places like Kansas City.
Listen, man, Mike, feel better. That cold thing is going around. So you're not the only one that's dealing with it. A couple other people dealing with it as well. So hope you feel better. Hope they feel better. And let's talk some NFL football, man, Mike, as the playoffs continue with the team I predicted will pull off an upset. The Tennessee Titans beating the Baltimore Ravens, and the Titans got it done once again with a heavy dosage of Derrick Henry. All right, for the first time, listeners, since 2002, the Tennessee Titans are headed to the AFC Championship game. That's right, Mike Vrabel's team finds themselves on the doorstep of a Super Bowl berth after stunning the number one seed, Baltimore Ravens, by a score of 28-13, I believe, somewhere around there.
Yeah, it was 28-13.
And listen, Tennessee carried a momentum from their wild card upset over the Patriots and the Baltimore, and essentially had this victory secure from the jump, in my opinion. All right, they went on a 14-0 run to start the game. They were able to get on the board first, you know, after Tennessee safety Kevin Byard picked off a tip pass from Lamar Jackson, one of his three turnovers on the night. Ryan Tannehill completed half of his throws for 88 yards, two touchdowns. He took the ball 35 yards down the field and ended with a tremendous touchdown grab by tight end Jonnu Smith. And then they turned around, and this was after stopping Baltimore on a 4th-and-1 attempt On the next offensive possession, Tannehill came back, listeners, on the field and immediately completed a 45-yard touchdown pass to receiver Khalif Raymond. I started to see the Lamar Jackson getting frustrated. And I said, are we seeing Cam Newton all again? Remember Cam Newton had that problem and that Super Bowl loss that he suffered? Lamar Jackson was letting all the team get under his skin. He was agitated instead of focusing on bringing his team back and doing what made him successful and his team successful all season. And while the Ravens, listeners, were able to put up a couple of field goals before halftime and had the momentum heading into the locker room, in my opinion, at the break, the Titans, man, Tennessee, you got to give them credit. They were able to go on a back-breaking third quarter run, you know, that pushed their lead to over 20 points and essentially put the game out of reach. And a large part of that is due to Derrick Henry, man. He rushed for 195 yards, listeners. 195. And he even passed for a touchdown. And before we fully turn the page on this game and look forward to the championship game between the Tennessee Titans and the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm sorry. It's amazing how Tennessee beat the New England Patriots, all right, which they weren't favored to beat. Then they turned around and beat the Baltimore Ravens, which they weren't favored to beat.
It's not amazing to me. I mean, I know I said Baltimore, I was going chalk, but I'll be honest, as the week went on, I just kept saying, I can see this happening. I even told my brother yesterday, I told my brother actually on Friday night while he was in Jersey, I was like, you know what, man? If you're going to lay some bets, put some money on Tennessee on the money line, because I think of all the teams that have a chance to upset, I think it's going to be them. As the week went on, I said, I can't see the Seahawks beating the Packers. I said that was my lock. Green Bay was my lock. And I said Tennessee was my upset special. I just think when you can play defense and you can run the ball, Lloyd, I just think that you're the kind of team that can make noise in the playoffs. I just do. I think that Tennessee is built for the playoffs. One thing that does upset me, and you might disagree with me, you know, a guy like Marcus Mariota, he has the bust label on him as the number 2 overall pick, and everyone's saying, look, they had to remove him in order to start winning. But in all actuality, they had to stop trusting all of their quarterbacks to start winning. Ryan Tannehill was 7 for 14 with less than 100. They won a game where he had less than 100 yards passing for the second straight week. Think about that. Ryan Tannehill doesn't even have 30 passes in the playoffs, and they're 2-0. Derrick Henry had more runs on Saturday night than Ryan Tannehill has passes in the entire playoffs.
You know what their style of play reminds me of? Matt, Mike, and remember the New York Giants were coming into the playoffs and just run the ball down your throat? I mean, obviously, yeah. You know, their quarterbacks threw for more than 100 yards, but they would run the ball right down your throat and keep on running it and running. And if you couldn't stop it, they would keep on running the ball.
Yeah, no, it's amazing to me, though, because while I was watching it, I'm just like, wow. Like, I hear all these fans, I see all these people look. This tells you how bad Marcus Mariota was. No, it doesn't. Ryan Tannehill was 7 for 14 for 88 yards. Think about that. Lord, think about that. It's like in four quarters, he played a half of football. Patrick Mahomes had 10 pass attempts in the first quarter of their game. And he had 14 for an entire game. Like I said last week, and I'm going to say it again, we haven't seen this type of lack of youth from a quarterback in the playoffs since Tim Tebow. So all I'm saying to that is, let's pump our brakes on the treatment of Marcus Mariota. They're not winning because Ryan Tannehill is doing anything special. But I will tell you this, listening to Ryan Tannehill after the game, Lloyd, it just makes me believe the Jets have the wrong quarterback. I've never heard Ryan Tannehill, even when he was successful in Miami, gush about his coach, Coach Gase, the way he gushed about how Mike Vrabel has kept the locker room intact, how Mike Vrabel, to a man, everybody loves him. You've never heard that. And I'm listening to Ryan Tannehill, and I'm saying, this guy knows gays. He's been in this system. He couldn't get out of Miami fast enough. Remember, he asked for the trade.
Yeah, and I thought similar to how they performed in New England last week, the Titans were unafraid walking into Baltimore to face the Ravens. And that confidence showed the whole entire game, in my opinion. Tennessee picked their spots with Ryan Tannehill, like you said. And, you know, passing a veteran quarterback came up clutch when his number was called. And an example of that, in my opinion, came immediately following a 4th-and-1 stop by the Titan defense. And he completed a 45-yard touchdown pass to receiver Khalif Raymond on the first throw on that drive. And they didn't turn the ball over.
They didn't turn the ball over. But they don't trust him to not turn it over. Like you said, 45-yard pass to Khalif Raymond, and I just finished telling you, 88 yards total for the game.
Yeah. But here's the
More than half of his yards came on one throw.
If you can get 195 yards out of your running back and keep and control the clock and win, why not?
Yeah. No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you there at all. But I do want to ask you one question, and it's actually something that because it's come up 2 times now, and, you know, I pay attention to this quarterback class a lot because of Sam Darnold. Last week, Josh Allen showed us that when you take away the deep throw, when you force him intermediate, he's not a very good quarterback. And is Lamar Jackson, can he beat you out of the pocket solely? When a team defensively comes in and takes away his ability to be mobile, is he a dangerous quarterback, Lord? Actually, I think it's a fair question to ask. And I don't think, you know, because they've been saying, oh, we're haters, all the haters are out. No, I think it's been a question that everyone's been asking all year. Because remember something, in the playoffs, you're not going to see those game plans week in and week out. Because there are teams all throughout the regular season that aren't built to take away a mobile quarterback. You know what I mean? Defensively. So he can thrive in the regular season. In the playoffs, When we're gearing up specifically for a matchup, can he beat that? Is he a pocket quarterback?
I definitely don't think that he is, and this is something that we talked about. And I said the key to beating Baltimore, whether it was with Tennessee or anybody else, if you can keep him in the pocket, your appetite or your recipe for winning a game will highly be successful. And Tennessee has a very quick defense. Very quick. And they're going to pose, it's going to be tough for Kansas City. It wouldn't surprise me, listeners and Mad Mike, if Tennessee turns around and beat Kansas City.
I'll tell you this. I think Tennessee has no shot in this game, and I'm going to tell you why. It doesn't matter that they're playing great. The fact of the matter is.
He has to throw more than they're not going to beat Kansas City with him throwing under 100 yards.
Yeah, but at the same time, here's why I'm saying that. They play Kansas City already, and they played them in an ugly game, and they beat Kansas City earlier in the year. I'm telling you right now, I don't know how much better Tennessee can play than they did in that 3-point win. I know for a fact Andy Reid, with all the injuries, all the nonsense that they dealt with, I guarantee you he's already devised himself a plan. I don't think we're going to see a very close game. Like you said, one, I don't think offensively, you have to be able to score points. I mean, we're talking about a team that erased a 24-point lead on Sunday. Tennessee can't play. There's going to be no keep away. As long as Chris Jones is healthy, I don't think people realize how much better Kansas City's defense is than it has been in years past.
Yeah, right now, so we have Tennessee going to Arrowhead Stadium to face the Kansas City Chiefs. As the Kansas City Chiefs knocked off the Houston
Texans.
I'm sorry, listeners. I had a brain fart. Forgive me. You know, look, the opening quarter in that game had become a distant, strange memory by early Sunday evening at Arrowhead Stadium. At which point, Patrick Mahomes, you know, had concluded his. Listen, man, I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting this. But also, you know, quote unquote, when a team shoots their load too quick, so to speak, and I hate to use that term, and I'm going to pause myself for using that term. But when they jumped out to the lead that they jumped out to, And me knowing how the Texans are, I was like, they're not going to win this game. They're not going to win this game.
I thought that lead was fool's gold. And I'll tell you why. Even though I know, the stadium was stunned. You just felt like after seeing Baltimore just never find it, never get it in gear on Saturday night, everyone was like, man, is this really going to happen? Are we really going to get, is this game going to be over before it started? But the one reason I said that I think it was fool's gold is the defense didn't play bad. It was 24-0, Lloyd, and 21-0 after first quarter, 24-0. But the defense itself was playing solid football. You know what I mean? They were playing solid ball. And the reason I'm telling you this is, they jumped on the first 54 yards of Kenny Stills. That was their fault. They bit on a really hard. It was a great play fake. It was just a busted coverage. 7-0. They block a punt and score a touchdown. 14-0. But that wasn't the offense. The second touchdown that came on a Tariq Hill fumble on KC's 6-yard line. So basically, they had just got to stop and had to go back on the field deflated. We all knew the touchdown was coming. It's 21-0, and then the long field goal. The defense had only given up 10 points through that whole 24-0 start. The defense really only gave up 10 points.
Yeah, and for the most part, look, a three touchdown playoff deficit is a nightmare for the most part. And it seems like for Pat Mahomes, it's an invitation. It's an invitation. I mean, they scored 41 consecutive points, listeners. 41 consecutive points. It ended up winning 51-31?
51-31.
Mahomes threw 5 touchdown passes. 3 of them to Travis Kelce. 321 yards. To a frenzy comeback that became a blowout.
Yeah, you know what else is kind of mind-numbing to me? Eric Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator. He just put up 51 spot in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like,
please don't remind me of that, Mad Mike.
We're going to talk
about the Giants, who the Giants hired as a coach.
No, I'm just saying. I wasn't even going that route.
Touched the nerve. When you said that, it touched the nerve under my skin.
What I was getting at was, I'm still in disbelief that nobody could wait until this run is over for them to I guess give this man a legitimate shot. You know what I mean? Like,
Matt Mike, you I'm know just how like, it is, man. I hate to play the race card. You know what I'm saying? But they have, what is that, the Rooney Rule, where teams have to interview?
Yeah, I call it.
That's a bunch of BS, man.
I call it the token Negro rule. That's exactly what I call it. You know the token Negro.
BS.
But I was bringing that up because it's like I just look at him and I say Andy Reid's coaching tree is second to none. Everywhere you look, his coaches are in the playoffs. And yeah, there's a stigma that they're just not successful in the big games. But you don't play the big games if you're not coaching teams to the big game. You know what I mean? Regardless of what we think is a big game. You know what I mean? But they're constantly in the playoffs. You know, you had Doug Peterson in the playoffs. You have a ton of guys under his tree. Frank Reich. I don't even want to go there. Just there's so many guys, and it was just more proof. It was just more proof with another 51 point outburst that another guy is going to get passed up for no good reason.
Listen, and not for nothing, the Chiefs is going to host. You know, let's move on to our prediction for this game. But the Chiefs, they'll host the AFC Championship game next Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium against the 6-seeded Tennessee Titans. And how will the Chiefs' resurgent defense match up against the Titans' bulldozer running back named Derrick Henry, especially if defensive back Chris Jones cannot return from a practice injury that kept him sidelined Sunday? Listen, can Mahomes, talents exploit Tennessee's defense better than Lamar Jackson's? And those are questions of the week for me. You know what I'm saying? Rather than the so often asked in the city that still laminates with so many squandering playoff games, you know, because Andy Reid is not known for getting it done. He's not known for getting it done. And people were, you know, people were expecting him to fail and for them to lose his game. And at one point, I was like, the curse continues for Andy Reid. And let's also point out there, listeners, that Tennessee beat Kansas City during the regular season. What was the score? It was close. What was it, 35-31 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that, 35-31, 34.
And if you ask me, not for nothing, I think that Marcus Mariota brings more to the table than Tannehill does.
Yeah, I think what always hung over Mariota, I don't think Mariota won. If you draft a guy like Mariota, you got to coach his style, and it's we can say that all the time. You see it happen all the time. John Harbaugh, for example, he coaches to his players' strength, right? Lamar Jackson, whether that's going to win a championship or not is yet to be seen. But I do think it's a successful system that they can at least be competitive and win a lot of games with every year. And they never coach to that system. He's not a grinded out quarterback. You know what I mean? Like it's just not what he is. He didn't play that way in college. And think about this. He's an up and down guy, right? Damn, we're gonna push the tempo. He's a Chip Kelly guy, and you gave him Derrick Henry as a running back. You never committed to Derrick Henry. That team is all mishmash of talent. We can say that, you know, they look successful, but it's not because of their passing game, because they don't complement. Nothing they do complements each other. They're only winning because, like you said, their running back is carrying the ball 35 times for 200 yards every game.
Yeah, and look, you got to get better play out of Tannehill, out of the quarterback position for this game, and if you don't, you know, I expect Kansas City to go to the Super Bowl.
Here's the thing. I don't think they're going to change it. I don't think they're going to change it. Kansas City has a hell of a pass rush this year. To be honest with you, I don't even know. My X factor for them, and you might laugh it off and say, oh, you know, he's old, Mike. You know, he got cut in Arizona. I think Terrell Suggs is their X factor. I think he's going to change that whole. There's a different grittiness he brings. You're talking about a playoff tested veteran, Super Bowl champion, knows what it takes. He's not going to let guys get tired. He's not going to let guys. He's not going to allow guys to give an inch and get run over. As hard as you're running at me, we're going to run at you. And to me, that's going to be the difference for them. I love Tyrann Mathieu. He's another guy who's not afraid to get his nose dirty. He's somebody we both said we wanted in New York. Should be in New York on either team. Absolute playmaker. I don't think this game's going to be close. I don't.
All right, so there you have it. So you got Kansas City knocking them off?
Yes, I got Kansas City Super Bowl, my friend.
All right, so I'm going to pick Kansas City to go to the Super Bowl as well. I'd pick Tennessee to beat Baltimore, but I think, you know, this road comes to end in Arrowhead Stadium. And like you said, again, the only way I see Tennessee winning this game, and I do think that they can do it, they got to get better play out of Tannehill, you know, because I wouldn't expect Derrick Henry to run, you know, for another 175-plus yards in the game again. Like, I can't see that happening. And mind you, he did set an NFL record for, you know, playoff games, you know, with 175-plus yards in back-to-back games. So, you know, Derrick Henry has been, you know, playing out of this world. But it's going to be a tough feat to, you know, do it three times in a row. And the only way you're going to win games with him throwing under 100 yards is he has to do that again. And I really can't see that happening against Tennessee. So me and Matt Mike both picked the Kansas City Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl, listeners. And now let's move on to the NFC.
To your coaching hire?
No, let's just talk about, before we get on to the Giants, and like you said, to the Giants coaching hire, and give our predictions on the college football game that's being played later this evening, let's talk about the San Francisco 49ers and the Minnesota Vikings. Okay? And behind a strong defensive effort and what I thought was an effective rushing attack, the 49ers cruised past the Vikings 27-10 on Saturday to advance in the NFC Championship game. Okay? And the 49ers returned to playoff action following a five-year drought. All right? I thought that they was dominant. Okay? San Francisco allowed just 147 total yards. And that's the fewest in the playoff game in the Super Bowl era. All right, and though the Vikings hung around in the early going with the 44-yard touchdown pass to Kirk Cousins, from Kirk Cousins to Stephon Diggs, listeners, you know, in a second quarter field goal, Minnesota was unable to find any answers over the final 30 minutes. And there goes that Kirk Cousins not being able to win big game thing again. That's the talk. Remember we had that talk last week? And this tight end, Travis Rudolph, was, you know, denouncing that talk. Like, what you got to say now? He can't win big games? Well, just winning one ain't enough. Unless it's the Super Bowl,
no,
right?
No. He can't win big games. And like I said last week, if Sean Payton wasn't as bad as Sean Payton was last week, they don't win that game. They didn't do anything special. They should have never been in that game. Sean Payton had a terrible game. Drew Brees was the worst I've ever seen Drew Brees play. And that's not overstating it. He was as bad as I've ever seen Drew Brees in any kind of game. Regular season, playoff, that was some of the worst decision-making I've ever seen. No, Kirk Cousins is a pumpkin. He turned back into a pumpkin. That's all there is to it. I don't know how many more times we got to see it. I don't know how many times. Listen, they're paying that man $30 million a year. I don't want to hear anything. You didn't pay him $30 million to go out there and throw for 100 yards to be a bum yet again. He's a difference maker.
And can I point out that San Francisco defense allowed Vikings star running back Dalvin Cook just to 18 rushing yards, forced six punts, and tallied six sacks and an interception. And the special teams, meanwhile, recorded a momentum-shifting fumble recovery off Marcus Sherrill's muff punt.
Yeah, that was another. That was the other thing, though. This was a game, man. It was 14-10. The defense, and I'm not talking about the defense for the Vikings, was in it, man. They were playing their butts off. And then to come out of the half, you know, they give up the 3 points. And then Kirk Cousins comes out and he throws the interception right to Richard Sherman, right on the first set of downs following the field goal. And the game was over. You know, they come down, they score the touchdown, they go up 24-10, and then when they finally get a stop, you know, to fumble the punt, and it was just crazy to me. I was just like, wow, I can't believe, you know, everything that went wrong for them. And just...
I mean, not only that, you know, San Francisco rushed for a combined total of 180 yards. 180 yards behind the, you know, Tevin Coleman, Raheem Mostert, and Matt Breida.
But that's how they're built, and that's what I like about them. They're built in the trenches. We're talking about maybe the best front seven in all of football and one of the sturdiest offensive lines in football. And you want to know what? And this is why I don't respect coaches like Adam Gase. This is why I don't respect I don't want to be unfair to Gase and name him only, but I don't respect all of these coaches that it's an offensive game, this and that. Yo, Kyle Shanahan is as offensive-minded as they come. He's one of the best young offensive minds in the game. And look at how they're built. The front seven is stacked and their offensive line is stacked. They're built from the trenches with an offensive coach. So it's time for teams to change their way of thinking. You can still be built the right way with an offensive coach.
No, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. So, it's, you know, listen, for the most part, you know, between the upsets and, you know, good, solid football, it's been a solid playoffs this year, you know, in my opinion. I haven't been disappointed this year with the playoffs. I haven't been. And before we go to a break, man, Mike, let's talk about this college championship game that's being played later this evening by LSU and Clemson. The two teams that I felt deserved to go are there. All right, you have the talented Justin Burrow, quarterback from LSU, who should we assume is going to be the number one pick in this year's draft. He's had a heck of a season, Heisman Trophy winner. He's going up against Clemson's quarterback, who upset Alabama last year. I call him Sunshine. I don't know the kid's name. And forgive me for not knowing his name, listeners. I call him Sunshine because he reminds me of the quarterback that played in the movie Remember the Titans. I expect...
What are we talking about?
The quarterback from Clemson.
Oh. Oh, Trevor Lawrence. That's hilarious.
Trevor Lawrence, thank you. Trevor Lawrence, thank you. Thank you, man, Mike.
Oh, I'm like...
Thank you for helping me out. Doesn't he remind you the dude from the Remember the Titans movie?
Oh, man, yes, that's what I'm saying. I never thought about that. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, so, listen, you're going to have, you know, two really good quarterbacks, two very good, you know, solid football teams. I'm looking forward to this game. LSU has done it all season. All season, they've beaten Alabama. You know, the SEC is a tough division. Tough division. And they've beat the best.
Yeah, I mean, here's the one thing I will say, though. Clemson, normally I'm the one that's always like the SEC. Clemson is the one team that I don't worry about in matchups against SEC opponents simply because you have to think about it, man. We're talking about a team that has played, 3 years already in national championships, four national championships against Alabama. That's already happened. We're talking about a team that's as battle-tested against the top SEC has to offer.
If there's one team that can knock off an SEC team, it is Clemson.
But I will say this.
But if any team deserves to win a national championship this year, listeners, I feel it is LSU. I just think that they've had one of those seasons.
The thing that interests you about LSU or intrigues you about LSU is for I'd say the better part of the last 10 years, everyone that watches college football, everybody that knows college football will tell you, if they've had the quarterback, if they've had a Tua Tagovailoa, if they've had basically a Joe Burrow this entire time, this run that Alabama has been on, they'd probably be able to say they'd be on a similar run, simply because the quarterback position is exactly what's held them back all these years. We're talking about, you know, when you really think about the amount of talent that has left LSU over the last, 8 years or so, you're talking about Jarvis Landry, you're talking about Odell Beckham, you're talking about Jamal Adams, you're talking about Greedy Williams, you're talking about, Justin Jefferson this year and Joe Burrow. They've had so much talent. Patrick Peterson. It's amazing that they haven't won a national championship. And I don't know what it is, something like 10 years or so, maybe more. So consider that. Like, Joe Burrow is the missing piece to what a lot of people think has been a program worthy of having its own dynasty.
Yeah, and thank you for correcting me. I said Justin Burrow, listeners, so I stand corrected. Mad Mike caught my mishap. As he always manages to do, which is why we're
great. I didn't even catch that.
Oh, yeah. I realized it. As you said, Joe, I was like, sugar, honey, iced tea. I said, Justin. You know, so our listeners are listening to it, and every time they'll be like, well, you know, Lloyd, you know, you got the name wrong. As one of our faithful listeners, his name is Nelson, he pointed out to me on last week's show that I made a mistake and said he thought it was funny. And I'm like, oh, man. In my mind, I'm like, oh, sugar, honey, iced tea. But, you know, you'd be surprised, you know, how in tune our listeners are with what we say. So, you know, I'd rather stand corrected than just be like, you know, to not correct myself. And they'd be like, yeah, Lloyd, it's not Justin, it's Joe. So, yes, listeners, I'm sorry. It's Joe, not Justin.
It's going to be a great game, in my opinion. You know, Trevor Lawrence is 25-0 as a starter. Trevor Lawrence already has a national championship under his belt. It's going to be it's going to be extremely interesting to see how it all plays out. There's a lot of talent.
That being said, Mad Mike, who are you picking? Matter of fact, I know what, I'm sorry, real quick. I know what it was. I think something about me going out on a limb or a branch. It was something like that I said. Yeah, exactly. But with that being said, Mad Mike, who are you picking to win this game and why?
I'm going to be the hypocrite, and I'm going to pick LSU. And I'm going to tell you, they just feel like a team of destiny. They just feel like everything I've seen. I watched them put up 50 points on Alabama. I watched them run roughshod over Georgia. I watched them in a game we thought that they were going to score 80 just a week and a half ago against Oklahoma. I just think, or 2 weeks ago, I just think that they're a team of destiny. Ed Orgeron has this specific roster's ear. He has it really, really believing. But I'm going to be a hypocrite, and I'm actually going to put some money on Clemson to win on the money line because the reason being is, when was the last time you bet against Michael Jordan?
Well, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, and what everyone's is, remember they used to call Deshaun Watson the Michael Jordan of college football when he led them all the way back and he refused to lose against Alabama. Well, everyone says as good as Sean Watson is, this kid Trevor Lawrence and his refusal to lose is second to none. And that's why I'm gonna put money on a money line.
All right. So I'm sticking with I'm gonna say LSU is gonna win this game. Again, I just think that LSU is a destined team. I think their head coach has them playing solid football. You know, the offense has been putting up points all season, and not just, you know, they've been lighting up the scoreboard. And I don't think that Clemson's defense is, not saying that they're not good, but I don't think they're as solid as last year's team's defense. So I think, you know, it could possibly very well be a shootout, but I think it's a shootout that in the end, when the smoke clears and the dust settles, LSU is going to be raising that trophy. So I got LSU winning that national championship game. Also, you know, I don't really, you know, have a college football team per se, but, you know, I've always liked LSU. You know, I always like LSU. So, you know, that's another reason. I'm going to be a little bit biased as far as that goes as well. So I got LSU winning that, Mad Mike and listeners.
Right. Yes, like I said, I got them winning too. Think they're a team of destiny. So, man, if anything, it'll make for good. It'll make for good interviews with Jamal Adams.
Listen, so we're gonna talk about this on next week's show, listeners. So we're gonna take a quick commercial break, and we come back. We're gonna talk Joe Judge again. If you're asking who in the hell is Joe Judge, that is the New York Giants head coach. So we'll be right back.
The answer to that question, listeners, is he's the second best judge in New York.
Right. Behind Aaron, who's a baseball player for the New York Yankees. Listeners, mind you, we want to talk about Aaron Judge as well, so remind me on that, Mad Mike. So we'll be right back with more of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Welcome back to the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. The first half of the show, listeners, we talk NFL playoff football. And the second half of the show, we're going to move on to some other things. Okay, now before we move on to this New York Giants football new head coach, let's talk about, as Mad Mike said, the real judge, the first judge, the most loved judge in New York City, and that's Aaron Judge. Okay, and after years of being grossly underpaid, in my opinion, listeners, thanks to the MLB salary scale, Yankees right fielder Aaron Judge got quite a payday. Okay, and Aaron Judge will make $8.5 million next season, according to a report by MLB's Mark Fine said. Is that accurate? Is that what he's going to make?
$8.5 million for next season.
And that's because Judge was eligible for salary arbitration, listeners, for the first time since he's entering his fourth full season in Major League in the majors. Okay, so a player has to play in the majors for 4 years before they can earn a salary arbitration. And the team also.
Yeah, so he has to complete 3 years, three full seasons in the big leagues. And then in his fourth year, he's eligible. After he completes his third season, he's arbitration eligible. And he'll be making whatever amount of money they agree to or he wins in arbitration going into his fourth season.
Okay, and I also want to point out they also agreed to a $5 million deal with catcher Gary Sanchez and a $12.5 million deal for starting pitcher James Paxton, among others. And I just want to point out, listen to this. Aaron Judge made $684,300 last year. Okay, and that's adding to his salaries from 2018, which was $622,000, and 2017, which was $544,000 plus. And you're talking about a player that has had three very good seasons in pinstripes. And the thing about baseball, just to not kind of get off, you know, this Aaron Judge thing, you know, baseball, boy, talking about dogging their players? No matter how good you are, if Major League Baseball teams could avoid paying you that big payday, they do it until they have to. And that's why.
That's exactly why I wanted to have this conversation, because I totally disagree with that. As a matter of fact, but the Yankees but are the ones that are doing that, Mike. Not baseball.
Well, yeah, okay. Some teams do it, but maybe that's why I'm saying what I'm saying, because I follow the Yankees more so than other teams when it comes to salary arbitration rulings and stuff like that. Because Chris Bryant got a huge payday in salary arbitration as well. I think
you're right, and so did Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts got $27 million for this year. They agreed to, in order, him and Boston agreed to avoid arbitration.
But the reason
I think
why
Chris Bryant got $18 million to avoid arbitration.
The reason why I'm saying this is that because, you know, the way the minor leagues is set up as far as you being able to send a player back and forth and all the options and stuff like that, wow, you know, like Aaron, you know the type of player Aaron Judge is going to be. You know, they did it with Aaron Hicks, right? And we was like, you know, why are you signing Aaron Hicks to a 10-year deal for that much money? Like, wouldn't it make more sense to give it to Aaron Judge?
Well, that's where I was going, Lloyd. That's exactly where I was going. You know, I was going to say a guy like Cody Bellinger, he got $11.5 million as a first-year arbitration eligible. It was a record deal this week. But you got to realize, and I did because I was making the same argument, you know, like, damn, he got this deal, and a guy like Aaron Judge sells for $3 million less. What are the, you know, the Yankees are really penny-pinching. But you got to take health into account, Aaron Judge. And this is why I said the Yankees weren't going to go to arbitration with him. That would be a nightmare, because then they got to go in there and they got to say, well, Aaron Judge is never healthy. And if you take out his rookie season, he wins rookie of the year. The year he got officially called up, remember, he pulled his oblique and missed the final 5 weeks of the season. And then he ends up getting he wins the rookie of the year. And then the last 2 years have been injury plagued. And we can say whatever we want. You know, he missed it with this year with the oblique. He had his wrist broken on a hit by pitch. But in the end of the day, the Yankees aren't going to, you know, say, oh, these were fluke. They're going to say, you know what, in the end of the day, he missed 70 games this year, and he missed 60 games the previous year, and you can't get paid if you're not healthy. Now, the reason I have a problem is over the last few years, baseball has actually moved away from the arbitration system across the sport and started paying guys a lot sooner. Josh Bell, before he even played a full season for the Pirates, had a full 6-year contract. Luis Robert this year signed for $100 million. He hasn't even been promoted to the Major League Baseball yet. Think about that. And here's Aaron Judge, who's going into his fourth year, has proven to be the best player on this team, absolute superstar, and the Yankees still haven't paid him. And that's a Hal Steinbrenner issue, if you ask me.
Now,
Alex Bregman last year got paid his contract.
I got a question I want to ask you, Matt Mike. All right, because there was speculation that Aaron Judge, who's 27 years old, that him and the Yankees will come to a multi-year deal. And if I'm correct, correct me if I'm wrong, he won't become a free agent until he's 31?
Yes, correct.
So that would be nearing the end of his athletic prime, so to speak.
Correct. And if you're a team like the Yankees that have moved away from deals for guys later into their 30s, especially offensive players, does it sound like Aaron Judge is going to get that contract? that huge contract that he's looking for. It's
grimy, man.
Here's what we're doing. Here's what the Yankees are heading down. They're heading down the same path the Mets head down with Jacob DeGrom, where really what it is we're going to pay you, but we're letting you get older, so we have to commit less years to you. We'll commit the dollars, as in we'll pay you the 25, 27, 28 million, but we have no interest in giving you 7 years. We'll give you 4 years. And to me personally, I'm saying the complete opposite. I'm like, you know what? Pay the man his money now. Give him his years. Maybe he'll take less on the years. I mean, maybe he'll take less on the average annual, and take more in the years. Like what's his name did? Like Aaron Hicks did, right? Aaron Hicks said, "Oh, you're gonna give me 70? All right, at 10 mil per, no problem. I know I'm never gonna be healthy. I'm gonna take this deal."
Oh man.
I mean, even if he's not healthy,
not the
but, you know, Jacoby Ellsbury was never healthy. Himself,
but you know that just happened because that's the absolute truth. That's the absolute truth. And let's face it, I think Aaron Judge is a top 10 baseball player in Major League Baseball when he's healthy. And if you want to dispute that, listeners, if you want to dispute what I just damn said, okay? Since the start of 2017, because I had a feeling somebody was going to dispute this. Okay, so here you are. If you want to dispute it, here's what I have to say to you for your dispute. Since the start of 2017, all right, Judge has been worth 18 wins above replacement or WAR, according to FanGraphs. That's the sixth most in Major League Baseball and the third most among all right fielders and the fourth most among American League ball players. He's also... okay, been the second best defensive right fielder in baseball. Maybe he might be the first, depending on who's making his argument, maybe behind Mookie Betts. And that's according to defensive stats. So if you want to pull out numbers, okay, Mookie Betts is first and Aaron Judge is second. But then what happens when the Yankees ask him to stay, Mad Mike? If it ever comes,
but that's my point. Listen to what you just said, and this goes across all of baseball, no matter who you talk about. When you talk about the best right fielders in the American League, or even the best right fielders in the game, he's top five in the game, right? And he's top two in the American League. You can make the argument for Mookie, and I wouldn't fight you on it. And you can make the argument for Aaron Judge, and I wouldn't fight you on it. Mookie Betts makes $27 million this year, and Aaron Judge makes $8.5 million. Mookie Betts has made over $40 million in the last two seasons, and Aaron Judge is going to make $9.1 million. You want to keep having this conversation? Am I the only one that sees a problem with how Steinbrenner is running things, how he's treating people? He's not. There's a difference between him and his father. His father paid up. You know, the Yankees had an astronomical payroll under his pops, but everybody that was homegrown and deserved it got paid. That's exactly why. They used to tell you the Yankees went out and bought free agents. Yeah, but you know what else they did? They made Mariano the highest paid closer in the game. They made Jorge Posada the highest paid catcher in the game. They made Derek Jeter the highest paid shortstop in the game. And they made Andy Pettit one of the highest paid left-handed starters in the game. These are all facts. Go look it up. So when you want to talk about the Yankee payroll, you have to also acknowledge that. Hal Steinbrenner hasn't proven that he's that just yet.
So listen.
And my last complaint before Friday, Lloyd, where with these arbitration, being able to avoid arbitration and giving out these deals, the New York Yankees only spent $339 million this offseason in contracts. And here's the thing about that. You're going to say, well, Mike, the argument for that kind of doesn't hold water because the New York Yankees spent more money this offseason than any other team in baseball,
only
right?
One damn player.
$339 million, $324 to Gerrit Cole, which means the other $15 million they spent was on the rest of the team.
Did they
spend money, Lloyd?
And no, definitely not.
Let's be honest about one other thing, since we already made fun of him. If Aaron Hicks wasn't missing half the year to Tommy John, would they have brought back Brett Gardner? The only reason Brett Gardner got a new deal is because they need a center fielder.
Yeah, because Aaron Hicks is hurt. You're absolutely right.
So would they have spent that additional $15 million that we mentioned?
Yeah, Look, man, you know, we both, I mean, you pointed out something because everybody's touting the Yankees is winning, you know, the World Series. And, you know, you put on
a wolf in sheep's clothing, bro.
This team is not, you know, they're not as good as they were last year. Not as good as they were last year. They got a bunch of holes to fill. They just signed backup catcher Iannetta. After they said they were going to give him, he got a chance to play.
And that's what I was just going to tell you. What does that tell you? That tells you that they're not 100% comfortable in Kyle Higashioka. But you want to know what? Austin Romine, who everybody knows I'm not a big fan of, but Austin Romine himself is he's due for his money now. His arbitration years are over. Now it's time to pay him. So are you? No, I'm not going to pay him $3-5 million. Hell no. I'm going to pay Chris Iannetta $1.5 million. Because I'm cheap. Because it's really not about winning. It's really not. That's the difference. How's going to win at the cost of George had a fundamental belief, man. George believed that you spend money to make money. Hal, on the other hand, believes the less you spend, the more you pocket.
Oh, boy. I tell you right now, you know, again, you know, we talk about owners. And real quick, before we move on to Joe Judge, let's talk about, you know, the way Hal Steinbrenner is running the Yankees as compared to the way George ran it, and then how the Tisha Mara sons are running it as compared to the way their fathers ran it. Big differences. Big differences. But talking about the Giants, let's talk about this new football coach that the Giants hired, Mad Mike. And the Giants promoted, you know, just going back, the Giants promoted Ben McAdoo from offensive coordinator to head coach, and large part because they love what he did to help fix Eli Manning and figure imposing a whole new system of Manning would be counterproductive. All right? Sure. Then they hired Pat Shurmur because he was, quote-unquote, an adult. But mostly, I felt that they hired him, or thought that they hired him, based on his excellent work in the developing quarterbacks. You see the theme that I'm going with here, listeners? You see
Let me ask you a question. Did Pat Shurmur in any world ever come across to you like an adult? The way he handled the media?
See, this is the joke of an organization that the Giants have become. This is a joke of an organization that this organization has become. All right? Joe Judge, you know, with a background mostly on special teams, has no trace of ever working with quarterbacks at any stop on his coaching rail. And the closest he got was picking up the added responsibility in 2019 of working with the Patriots wide receivers. You know, sometimes caught Tom Brady's passes, sometimes caught his passes.
I was just going to say, one, I heard that that was a favor Bill Belichick did to him to help him start building his resume. But even if you want to say that he was actually the wide receiver coach, which I've already heard conflicting reports that he really wasn't the wide receiver coach, they just had their worst year in a receiving corps in the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady era. Literally, just had the worst season they've ever had in a wide receiver corps. So, I'm believing in him. What?
Yeah, look, you had, what was the guy named Tom Rhule? Am I getting his first name right? Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule, yes.
Matt Rhule, the coach from Baylor. He signed with the Carolina Panthers. Apparently, he wanted full control of the organization. The Giants have never been known to be an organization to give a head coach both head coaching.
No, let me clear you there. That's what they're spinning now. That's not what he wanted. He didn't want to work under Dave Gettleman. All right? There's a big difference between wanting all control and not wanting to work under a specific individual. You know what I mean? I've said this before, I didn't blame him when he refused to work for the Jets for the same reason. But at the same time, he looked really stupid because the Jets had the number 4 ranked defense in all of football this past year. And one of the reasons he didn't want to take the job was because the Jets demanded that he work with Greg Williams. So he could be, you know, I get it, but he didn't want to work with Gettleman. And I don't blame him because you got to think about something. Ron Rivera didn't want to work under Gettleman this time around either. What does that tell you?
And all those years they spent. James didn't even want to have nothing to do with the Giants.
Yeah, I think Josh is waiting for that Patriot job. I think he knows Robert Kraft. I just think that he's comfortable there, and he's not looking to make any moves. He's not going to get the job in Cleveland either. You know, with them going with Kevin Stefanski, so he's pretty much done.
And Mike McCarthy, Mike McCarthy was another option. He took the job as a Dallas Cowboys head coach.
Look, that's the other thing. I didn't even get to mention that. That's the other thing that's going to be interesting here. When we go through all of it, the thing that's going to be interesting is Washington hired a new coach, Dallas hired a new coach, and the Giants hired a new coach. We're easily going to be able to decipher who got it right and who got it wrong. You don't ever really see that much turnover in one division in the same year. And we're going to see it.
Here's the thing. You know, I was talking to somebody, and somebody got all hyped up over his interview. You know, when you meet the media and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's press.
Come on, man. Like, y'all are literally falling for that hot caca. Are you going to fall for that garbage? Where somebody sits there and says all the right things?
But you want to know what, man? All I need to know is that he wasn't your first choice. He wasn't your second choice. He wasn't your third choice. And to speak even more volumes about him as a choice, you announced his hire the same day that it came out that you requested an interview from Jason Garrett. Think about that. On Monday, they requested an interview from Jason Garrett right before they announced the Matt Rhule. Wow. It came out they announced the Matt Rhule hiring for Carolina, and they asked for an interview with Jason Garrett. It came out all in the same morning. And then an hour after all that news, you hired Joe Judge. Literally, hired Joe Judge.
And don't forget the point to add in there, Matt Mike, that they said that was their first choice from the get-go. And then you have the owner come up and say, this was the best interview I've ever heard or ever been involved with in a coach in my entire football career.
Not true. Let's stop. And it brings me back to the other guy we spoke about earlier, right? Eric Bieniemy just coached these guys to 51 points. And if you want to say, well, that's Andy Reid's offense, well, who'd he learn under? Who's he coaching under? What system is he running? We just finished having this conversation. Andy Reid's coaching tree is as successful in around the National Football League as Bill Belichick's disciples are failures. Think about that. The only coach under Bill Belichick to make any kind of noise as recently as the last 10 years is Bill O'Brien, who we keep watching is as overrated a coach as there is. They keep saying that Bill O'Brien is what's holding back the Houston Texans.
You know, I just, you know, man, Mike and listeners, I wanted to point this out as well, because everybody's like Joe who, Judge who, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. And then Bill Parcells comes out and speaks highly of this guy and said that this guy is capable of being an excellent head coach, and then a bunch of people start turning around and say, oh, the Giants didn't make a bad coaching decision hire after all. Just because Bill Belichick said so.
Yeah, well, Lloyd, Todd Bowles was a Bill Parcells disciple. Todd Bowles was spoken very highly of by Parcells. And what he turned out to look like as a head coach here in New York. So say whatever you want. The fact of the matter is, he's Joe Judge being a Bill Belichick guy is indirectly a disciple of Bill Parcells. So of course he's going to talk highly of him.
You know, the crazy part is, and the Giants is my football team, just like the Knicks is my basketball team, and it's sad to say, but is it bad of me to hope that this team fails? Is it bad
to me? No, because I was watching the Knicks on Sunday, against the Miami Heat, just hoping they lost, just praying they lost.
I do that every game. I do that every game just so they do not have an excuse or reason to keep Mills. They got to fire him, man, and I want the same thing to happen to Giants so they can fire Gettleman. But all these bad decisions that he's making and these moves that he's doing for this team is setting this team back. Setting the team back. The best thing he's ever done for this team, and it's debatable because me and Mad Mike debate about this all the time, listeners, is Saquon Barkley. And I'll give him credit for Darius Slayton. He moved up to get DeAndre Baker. He got torched all season. Torched. So outside of Saquon Barkley and outside of Darius Slayton, and please don't say Daniel Jones, because I'm not putting him in there yet. What solid pick has he made?
Daniel Jones. He found a quarterback.
Yeah.
If he didn't find a quarterback, he wouldn't have a job.
Oh, man. Listen, there's a lot of hype going on there. I'm not sold. I'm not on that gravy train. Or whatever you want to say, I'm not riding that train just yet with Daniel Jones. I'm not. I don't think he'll – I mean, he could very well be an elite quarterback, and I hope at some point, you know, I get a mud pie on my face for saying that he won't be, but I don't think he'll ever be an elite quarterback. I think at some point he's going to be a good quarterback that's eventually going to get replaced somewhere down the line. But because the Giants don't want to look like idiots for making this choice, they're going to force feed this to happen. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. And it just so happened that, you know, he didn't have an awful season, rookie season. But let's see if there's any growth next year, listeners. That's the telltale sign. Let's see if there's any growth. Then maybe I might, no, you know what? I'm still not going to feel any differently. Hell, F it. Still not going to feel any differently. Still not worth the number 6 pick. Still think the Giants would have gotten him in a second or third round. Maybe the 5th or 6th round. People say, oh, Washington was going to take, Washington wasn't taking no damn Daniel Jones. Wasn't taking him. I think they did that. That was a ploy for the Giants to take Daniel Jones so they could get Dwayne Haskins, who was probably they had on their board as their top-rated quarterback all along. So just think. The Giants could have had Jared is it Jared Allen from Jacksonville?
Josh Allen.
They could have had Josh Allen, and possibly until they blew it, they could have had Chase Young. This team can't do. Oh, almost cursed. Listen, you got anything else to say about? You got anything else to say about this coach?
No, I just think I think when a guy is not on your radar, there's a reason why he's not on your radar. You know, this guy's only coached 10 years in football, and he's only gone as high as special teams and wide receiver. And wide receivers didn't look good under him.
It was almost like listening to a drill instructor speak the way he was giving his thing with the media.
Yeah, and it wasn't only that. There's other things. You know what I mean? Like this. Let's not act like they weren't caught again with a videotaping scandal this year. You know, when everyone says that these guys prepare harder than anybody else, they do. There's a reason why they fail. There's a reason why every single coach on his tree fails when they go out and coach other teams. It's why I think Josh McDaniels won't do it again. Josh McDaniels himself got caught cheating, videotaping, when he was in Denver. So you're telling me about how prepared they are. If you take away the cheating that goes on in there, are they any more prepared than the next people? Are they? So, you know, to hear them tell me he's a drill sergeant, he has attention to detail is second to none. Well, when he has more details than everybody else in football, yeah, it's easier to pay more attention. It's easier to, I saw those signals. I know it's coming. Why? Because I'm videotaping the Cincinnati Bengals sideline a week before I'm set to play them. Come on, man. I'm so tired of it. I already said it. It pisses me off that Eric Bieniemy didn't even get an opportunity. And I watched what he went out and did versus what the Patriots went out and did. And I'm saying, why is this guy not a hotter name? What the hell is going on? If there's a reason nobody heard of Joe Judge before he got hired by the Giants. And I don't understand what the hell you're doing hiring Joe Judge.
Now, before we go to your rant, Mad Mike, I just want to ask you this question. What happens after 3 weeks of next year's season when the Giants are 0-3? I mean, you don't think the media and the fans are going to be drilling this dude?
Yeah, they better hope
that the Giants come out and win some games, man. He better hope that the Giants come out and win some games.
If they stink next year, they better hope that the other two new coaches, Ron Rivera and Mike McCarthy, look just as bad. That's what they better hope. Because they're going to have egg on their face, because that's exactly what fan base is going
to
say.
You know, that'll be tough to do because Dallas has a better team. But Washington definitely wasn't as good as the Giants. So if Rivera could somehow manage to right that ship and get them playing better football than the Giants, look, I want nothing more, and forgive me for saying this, listeners, and I don't care if you want to pull my fan card or whatever the case may be, I wish this team nothing but failure. The only person I want to be successful is Saquon Barkley. That's the only person I want to be successful. But I want this team to go 0-16 next year. I do. And that's sad. But that's what it's become. Just like I want the Knicks to lose all. What is it? What if basketball play 82 games?
Yeah.
I want them to go 0-82. The thing that sucks now is, you know, I hope they lose, and it doesn't bother me if they win a game here or win a game there, because a lot of it has changed. And watch, I guarantee you, listeners, I'm saying it right now. I'm calling it right now. The team that has the worst record in the NBA, if not the Knicks, is going to get the first pick in next year's NBA draft. Watch what I tell in this coming NBA draft. Watch what I tell you. Remember this show. Again, I'm going to say it one more time. The team that has the worst pick and the worst record in the NBA, they will end up with the number one pick if they're not the New York Knicks. And there you have it. So with that being said, listeners, we're going to move on.
Was that your rant?
No, yes. Listen, let's move on to something more important than Joe Judge, and that's Mad Mike's rant of the week. So Mad Mike, what do you have for the listeners for your rant, brother?
All the defenders of the NBA, they're the focus of my absolute annoyance this week. You know, not for nothing, but you think about the ratings in the NBA this year are the lowest they've been in some, I don't even know, man. To my understanding, it's double digit years, right? But you got to think about everything they've done wrong, from the China situation. You have some of these players stick up, you know, or stick up for their money. We already had these conversations, right? You have what is now considered me agency, where it's a playoff free agency where these players, for example, your boy Anthony Davis forces his way to the Lakers. And I heard this on the radio. We already know one of David Stern's legacies was creating the lottery, right? Why? To do exactly what you just said, to make sure that small market teams stay relevant and he can control where the first pick and whatever goes. So we have people that are already sick of that. We know that they're tired of it. You know, you have the situation in Oklahoma City where we call it the legal tampering. We know the players are plotting to play with each other and convincing each other to leave contracts on the table and force their way out. And now we have, you know, a guy like John Beilein who called his team thugs. And all these people that now are going to come out and say, this is a good man, we stand by him. No, he called his team thugs. and you can say whatever the hell you want to me. We know why he called this team thugs. We know what a team of thugs we're relating to. The same way when Imus called that Rutgers team nappy-headed hoes, we knew what he was talking about. And so this league cannot get out of their own way anymore, Lloyd. Every week you turn on, it's a different scandal. Every week, it's some more controversy. It's unbelievable to me. We need to clean it up. I don't know what Adam Silver's doing. He's catering to players, and I hate to say, you know, because everyone says that's a plantation mentality. No, you're the commissioner of something. You don't cater to your players. You do what's best for the league as a whole. You got to stop letting that. It's unbelievable to me right now what's going on. And that goes for your coaching staff, too. A guy like John Beilein calls his team thugs. Oh, you're suspended a game. You're suspended two games. I don't care. I don't care anymore. I'm tired of it. I think everyone's tired of hearing it.
All right. There you have it, listeners. There is Mad Mike Rant for the week. We all love that.
And I left Kevin Durant alone.
Oh, there you go.
Kevin Durant again got caught on his damn Twitter. What the hell are you doing? Get out and play a game and shut your mouth.
Yeah, also Kyrie Irving was back, and I was just about to call him out because I saw him twirling his shoulder around in the Nets' victory against Miami. And I'm like, if you can twirl your shoulder around the way you're doing it, then you're good enough to play basketball. But he stepped up on a basketball court yesterday and played a game. So I guess he's avoiding surgery. So with that being said, listeners, that's going to bring us to a close of this week's show. Me and the Mad Mike want to thank you for sticking with us. We want to thank our producer, Ayo Omar Baker, for rocking us out. So listeners, please have a safe and blessed week. And me and the Mad Mike will see you in 7 days. So Ayo, let's roll, baby.
All right, that's one more episode of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show in the books. I was watching a little bit of the New York Knicks game yesterday, actually listening to it in the car. They caught a win at the Garden yesterday against the Miami Heat. Julius Randle, he played some big minutes. RJ Barrett, he looked good. Marcus Morris didn't play. That's one more W in the win column for the Knicks. And like Lloyd and Mad Mike mentioned, Kyrie Irving returned yesterday, or maybe the day before, for the Brooklyn Nets. So there's some things to look at for the two New York basketball teams. We get closer to the All-Star break, see if any moves are being made. I doubt the Nets are really making much noise as far as trade deadline is concerned. But anyway, make sure you subscribe. This show drops brand new episodes every single week, every Monday. So check out LloydAThompson.com. Throw any questions you have over there. You can follow on Instagram and Twitter at Lloyd A. Thompson. And of course, subscribe everywhere the podcasts are available. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to podcasts, this show is there. Once again, brand new episodes of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show drop every single week. Make sure you hit partofmyfresh.com to check out the PMF Wrestling Show, plus Part of My Fresh Radio. We'll catch y'all in 7 days. Peace.